You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. About the dead air. You're supposed to hit the start button. That's right. Well, you're not, I am. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Listen to you tonight, come on, celebrate. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you did what you were supposed to do, which is remind people what the weekend was about. And then other than that, yeah, good weekend. Time off's important. I have to tell you, let me give you an observation about just driving around, kind of an observation. Not as many people fly flags anymore. Yeah, you know, I remember being a kid, right? And everybody had that it was like a black stick with a metal holder that went on the awnings of your house. Everybody had that. Right? Memorial Day, 4th of July. And now, I mean, you'll drive down a street, and there's no flag out. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So here's another task for everybody out there. Gently nudge people you know. Hey, man. You need to get a flag, bro. It's part of being an American. Now look, you don't have to go serve or do anything like that. You don't even have to volunteer, but come on. The low bar on national days, don't be afraid to put the American colors out there. Labor Day, right? Celebrate the American workforce. Okay? So don't be afraid to do that stuff. And come on, man. I don't know where I was going, but I noticed it on my block. Yeah, there was, I don't know, on my block, I'm trying to think, 1, 2, 3, 10, 15, 25 houses. Might have been, you know, five flags out. Yeah, it was lame. So I thought, you know what? That needs to become a task. Yeah, so add that to the list. Okay. Add that to the list of things to do, things that you're assigned and you're responsible for. Now, the question is, well, Mac, how exactly do I gently bring that up to somebody? I don't know. The next time you bump into them and, I don't know, offer to get them one. Hey, no set of flag holder, but no flag out on Memorial Day. Do you need me to remind you? Do you need me to get your flag? Because I will. I'll help you out. You know, use a little bit of your sense of humor. You know? But, yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, again, I just remember as a kid, you know, you'd have people that have bigger flags out, right? And they tended to be veterans. And so many of them, right, when in the 60s, when World War II was not even in the early 60s, World War II wasn't even 20 years in the rearview mirror. And, everybody had them. Now not so much. Yeah, and I mean, you go down the block and you see every house, American flag. So, yeah, I don't, again, I know, I'm going to hear, you know, what are you trying to do, get me in a fight with my neighbor? Maybe, that might not be a bad thing. Tighten the neighborhood up a little bit. Come on. It's Memorial Day. I did that. I did more than a little bit of work. I did a lot of work over the weekend. Did a little work on the 501c3 event, the nonprofit corporation that will make its debut here in, in the next 30 days or so. And we'll begin operations, and then we'll begin to do programming about post-traumatic winning. And so I had to, you know, there's corporate filings, and yeah, exactly, 501c3 filings. So anyway, I had to go do a bit of data collecting, deadlines, blah, 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 blah. So I did that. So I did that and put a timeline together, and so I would understand, right, money required, at what point you got to pay that money, what point you got to make this filing, and all of that. So I did that. So that was part of my weekend. And then, the other thing I needed to do was I need to write a book about post-traumatic winning. And so I've been messing with it, right? And, I started it in probably before January when I started speaking, and then I haven't been able to get to it. So anywho, I sat down and thought, you know what? I need to kind of think this. How do I want to do this? Right? How do I want to do this? So I thought, you know, I need to define, right? I need to write the conclusion first. Right? Because that has to be clear in my mind. What exactly does post-traumatic winning say at the end of the book? So I set about doing that. I sat down and I cleared my brain and I said, okay, what exactly am I doing? So I did that. So I went about that. And then, throughout the weekend, I kind of worked backwards from the conclusion all the way to the preface. Now the preface, I don't know if you know this, but the preface isn't normally written by the author. The preface is written normally by somebody else. The introduction is written by the author. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? Well, maybe you did, but I just want you to know officially that's the way in the editors and something other website. That's the way that thing works. So I did that, and then I outlined the rest of the chapters. what should be in, and I don't want it to be a long book. I'd be curious. So if you have any thoughts on this, I'd obviously be curious to hear it, but I don't want to, it won't be a long book. It'll be blunt. If I can do it, certainly less than about 125 pages at the most. It's designed to be, you know, kind of a, it would be a, for Marines out there listening, it would be kind of a book that would fit in your cargo pocket, and it's not going to be very thick. My idea is that it's designed to be viewed on your phone or on a Kindle reader, an e-reader, right, your iPad or whatever. And so it'll have hyperlinks to videos and other content. Yeah, so it'll have a little bit of the flavor of, it'll have a lot of the flavor of the presentation. So I kind of got that in my head. So I want it to be not intimidating for everybody to pick up and read, and something they could look at and say, I can read this in a night. Let me see what this dude McNamara has to say. So I kind of finished that concept in my head. So if you have any recommendations, I would be glad to take them. mac.allmarineradio@gmail.com. So by all means send them. but the book essentially is already written in my head. I just have to put it on paper. Yep. So I did that over the weekend. And then yesterday, I went down to Balboa Island down in Newport Beach. So Newport Harbor has an island in it. And I'm not even sure. I think it was probably a sandbar at one time or something. But like most things like that in ritzy places, what happens? Somebody, you know, creates a bridge to it, and then they set about fortifying the island, and they start building big, nice homes in it. Yeah, you got the picture. So that's what Balboa Island is. And it's kind of a villagey little thing. People go out there. Now, I would say this. They have flags everywhere. As you, on the bridge going over, all the businesses had their flags out. So businesses do good, right? Especially in places like that. It's just residences. And that's where you come in. That's right. Start being the flag. I'm the flag warden. Actually, you want to listen to this. I toyed yesterday with putting a sign up in my front yard. Where's your flag, bro? Kind of a takeoff of don't tase me, bro. Yeah, where's your flag, bro? But, yeah, it bothers me a little bit. You don't own a flag and you don't fly a flag on a national holiday. Bothers me a little bit. So, anywho. I go down to Balboa, and they were having a Memorial Day event. Now, remind you, my lecture on Friday was what? Memorial Day is not Thank You for Your Service Day. It is not Veterans Day. Well, it kind of was down there. And which, you know, hey, if that's what they do, that's what they do. But they did mention the people from Balboa that had been killed in combat in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. And because it didn't exist prior to World War II. It was just a sandbar, I think. So anyhow, I went down there and beautiful place. Hung out for a few hours in the sun. And you know, you meet these people that are... I met a guy named Ellis. He's 93. Born in Palestine, grew up across the street from the British consulate in Palestine between World War I and World War II. He joins the British Army, becomes a cartographer, right? For those of you who aren't savvy to that, that is a map maker. Yeah, cartography. He then comes to the United States, and we're sitting there talking about hitchhiking and all the things people used to do back in the day that you know people tend not to do anymore. And And he just, at 93 years old, he's telling me about hitchhiking through from Texas to Alabama, and then up to Virginia, and he's rattling it off. I'm thinking, he's 93 years old, man. How does he remember this? But he was a delightful guy, and you know, talked about what it was like to, you know, to come out to Southern California in the late 40s. I said, well, why'd you come out here? He said, I met a woman. I said, always the reason, right? He started laughing. And then he winds up moving to Newport Beach in like 1950 something, when it was like not very inhabited. He buys a house on this island, right, back then, for like $18,000. I mean, the houses on that island now are, I don't know, $4 or $5 million homes. And so it's he just tells this incredible story from Palestine to Southern California, and by way of the British Army. And and then got a chance to meet other Marines down there. There was nobody, you know, I was like a young person there. He's in Iraq and Afghanistan. What? You were? I'm like, yeah, but I didn't. Somebody asked me, well, do you want to speak? And I said, not really. And so I just, I enjoyed the afternoon. The, made a phone call or two to people I know that are Gold Star families, and, am mindful of my own advice to everybody else. So if you haven't done that, and Memorial Day might be a little busy for it. I mean, it's not, you know, too late. This week, shoot him a note. He just wants you to know I was thinking about you. And 24/7, I'm here, right? And I give a shit. So just make sure, again, mindful of General Kelly's words about the two things that Gold Star families fear. And that is, one, that the sacrifice of their loved one will be for naught. And there's nothing we can do about that. That is the work of our government and our elected officials. And then the second fear is something that we can do something about, which is that they will be forgotten. And that's our responsibility, to make sure that that does not happen. And we all have a little bit of part of that. So, to the extent that you do have a part in that, make sure it's not too late. Does not have to happen, you know, over the course of that particular weekend. And so just be mindful of it. And whether it's a quick note, whether it's a card, whether it's a phone call, a text message, all that works. The big thing is, do not forget, right, to reach out to them. Do not forget to make them how do I say it? Do not forget to make them Do not forget to reach out to them and massage that fear that we won't forget. So anyway, what are we going to do today? We're going to do battlefield study today. Yeah, battlefield study today and on discipline tomorrow. Yeah, today is he retired as a gunner. He works out at, the places, the ranges of the Marine Corps that get used the most are at Marine Corps Base 29 Palms. He is the guy out there relative to ranges, Gunner Galinas. And so you're going to hear him talk about what it was like to be a PFC at Contien and also at Khe Sanh. He goes to Vietnam in 1967, and he becomes a member of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. Now, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines will become famous in Marine Corps history for Operation Buffalo, their movement to contact into the DMZ, the most costly day of fighting in the Vietnam War in terms of American lives. And then he goes to, one night goes down to Khe Sanh to help out. in the hill fights around Quezon. So, I mean, right, out of the frying pan into the fire. So, but it's a unique perspective because on all the other battlefield studies, you know, the lowest ranking person that we've had do it was Jack Riley, who was a corporal sergeant, right? But you're going to hear the perspective of somebody who just showed up, right? PFC, part of a replacement flight, that goes to Vietnam as individuals, not as a unit. And then gets assigned to a battalion, 1-9, joins them, and then fights with them for a year. And then he gets transferred to Ken Rogers' battalion. Yeah, 126. He gets transferred, like, towards the end of the fight at Quezon. And he had some interesting things to say about that. Yeah. So interesting show today, tomorrow, and then on Thursday we'll talk to Jeff and Tim, and then the chef will come back on. If you didn't stuff anything over the weekend, shame on you. Go get a portobello mushroom and load that sumbitch up and with whatever. Load it up with steak, load it up with vegetables and cheese. But if you missed Friday's edition of The Chef Says, check that out, because it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, all right, we will officially begin the program. We will check the news headlines and head to the top of the hour. And at the top of the hour, Gunner Tim Galinas, United States Marine Corps, retired, gracious enough to give up his time and talk about his experiences as a PFC and at a place called Con Tien. The other thing I'll tell you is if you do a search, stand by. Let's see, Timothy K. Galinas. Home of record, Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Same dude, right? Silver Star, rank corporal. Battalion, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines. This is his Silver Star citation. So this has to be towards the end of his tour. Obviously, he shows up as a PFC. The President of the United States takes pleasure in presenting the Silver Star to Corporal Timothy K. Galinas, United States Marine Corps, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action while serving as a sentry dog handler with Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines, 1st Marine Division Reinforced, FMF, in connection with combat operations against the enemy in the Republic of Vietnam. Early on the morning of 11 November 1968, while leading an ambush patrol in defense of a gasoline storage facility near the Hai Van Pass in Quang Nhi Province, Sergeant Galinas was alerted. So he's a sergeant at this time. He's a corporal when the action occurs. Sergeant Galinas was alerted by his sentry dog to the presence of the enemy and quickly deployed his men into ambush positions. As the North Vietnamese Army platoon, augmented with Viet Cong sappers, entered the fire zone, he triggered the ambush and inflicted severe casualties on the enemy. During the ensuing fierce firefight, a Marine was hit by an enemy round and fell directly in the line of fire. With complete disregard for his own safety, Sergeant Galinas dashed into the open, placed himself between his fallen comrade and the enemy, delivered a steady volume of suppressive fire while several Marines moved forward to evacuate the wounded man to a covered position. Although he himself was seriously wounded by protecting his fellow Marines, Sergeant Galinas remained in the open, continued to fire his weapon until assured the casualty was safe, his men were in defensive positions. Then, resolutely refusing medical evacuation, he encouraged and directed his men until reinforcements arrived and the hostile force was routed. His heroic actions, at the risk of his own life, inspired all who observed him and were instrumental in saving the life of a fellow Marine. By his extraordinary courage, dauntless leadership, and selfless devotion to duty, Sergeant Galinas upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. How about that? That's right. So, you're going to hear from him. And, again, it's talk about cool jobs. Yeah, talk about cool jobs. I have one. And the way all of this has evolved between post-traumatic winning, between on discipline, between battlefield studies, between what spouses say. You know, I describe it as good on top of good on top of good on top of good on top of good. That's pretty much what I got going on here. And it just gets gooder all the time. So, with on that little piece of literary garbage, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to Gunner Tim Galinas for his contribution to the Battlefield Study Series. He's going to come back on. We'll talk about discipline and do a segment with him, a retired Marine gunner, one of the first Marine gunners ever. And so this is dedicated to him and his comrades in 19 at Contien, his comrades in 126. You're going to get to hear about his experience with them in about 32 minutes, so don't go anywhere. So this is dedicated to him and them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning, common concept on the program, just so you know. All right, we'll check the weather on Marineland. Currently, it is partly cloudy and 78 in Quantico. It is sunny in 89 at the home of the 2nd Marine Division, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, at the home of Regimental Combat Team 7 in 29 Palms. It is sunny in 63. Cold over the weekend in California, no kidding. Yeah, it was low 60s yesterday along the coast. At Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, it is sunny and 56. Camp Smith in Hawaii reports clouds and 75 degrees. The 3rd Marine Division in Okinawa reports clouds, rain, 76 degrees. In the Al-Anbar province, where Special Purpose MAGTAF does its work, it is sunny and 100 degrees late in the day there. And early in the evening in Afghanistan, where Task Force Southwest makes their living, it is clear, dark, and 89 degrees. The home of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 59, looking for a high of 69. Yeah, we're going to get into in the 70s tomorrow. How about that? What kind of bullshit is that? 71 and sunny skies on Thursday on a short week. Yeah, one of the silver linings of a three-day weekend is the following week is pretty short. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines on coming back to work after a long weekend. And then we'll do Battlefield Study. PFC Tim Galinas from Rhode Island went to Vietnam in 1967. You will hear about that this morning. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the end of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah, I let it.
love. You can get that song called Hurt on most of your favorite music outlets. P-E-Y-T-O-N, Davis. Not P-A-Y, for all you hillbillies out there. P-E-Y-T-O-N. And you spell Davis, D-A-V-I-S. Wipe your lips off my face. All right, some headlines from around the world of the DOD. The president puts U.S. service members in the spotlight during a Memorial Day address aboard the USS Wasp. And then he invited some people on stage to say a few words. Anyway, so president aboard the USS Wasp over the weekend. And always interesting to see where the president heads when he's out and about. The a few more headlines. Normandy again tries to keep alive their infinite gratitude for D-Day. But there's fewer and fewer veterans that obviously return there in their 90s now, in their late 90s. So, again, these traditions that have been so strong for decades diminish. Over time. And so the French seeking ways to make sure that they keep these traditions alive as they pass these traditions from generation to generation of French that live in the region. So, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Kansas and Missouri governors activated their National Guard after requests because of the flooding in the region. So, if you have paid attention to the news at all, another story is Secretary Mattis, who I spoke with on Friday. Yeah, I'm sitting here working. All of a sudden, my phone starts to ring. I look down, and it's and his face pops up. I'm like, what? But no, he's very interested in doing the on discipline segment. And so he called. He'd been out of country. He called to say, tell me, hey Mac, I just got back in the country. He said I wanted to reach out. He said, is this thing pressing? And I said, no, sir. I said I do them about every other week. And Lieutenant General Halick's already in the can, so whenever you can get to it. He said, all right. I said, all right. He said, I want to sit down. I want to do this. He said, I think it's really important. And he said, you know, it's about putting less Marines in body bags. That's what discipline's about. So interesting, and I think I mentioned this last week, but interesting enough in the conversation with him is obviously he's a smart guy, right? And constantly applies his brain to how do you make Marines better? How do you make it make sense for them? And all those little sayings. All those little Mattisisms, first do no harm, no better friend, no worse enemy, are these little phrases are his work at chunking information so that Marines would execute continuing actions and be disciplined about it. And that's the way how do we do this? How do we keep this stuff in their head? And he's not he's the kind of guy who's just not content with, okay, maybe this, maybe that. No, he's like, okay, well, what are the best practices in the world at getting something to stay in somebody's head? Let's find out what those are and let's do it. And that's where these things come from.
Story in Stars and Stripes. Call sign Chaos. Ex-Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis book is coming out this summer. Wah, wah. but he warns it will not be a tell-all about President Donald Trump. Call sign Chaos, Learning to Lead, will be published July 16th by Random House, they announced today. Co-written with Bing West, the book will be an expansive account of the retired general's military career, according to the publisher. Mattis will write about conflicts from Afghanistan to Iraq and those experiences for lessons in war and peace. The book was under contract before Mattis became defense secretary in early 2017, although it will touch on events over the past couple of years. A Random House spokesman told the Associated Press, but Call Sign Chaos should be far different in tone from such scathing bestsellers as James Comey's A Higher Loyalty and Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury. Quote, my purpose in writing this book is to convey some of the lessons I've learned in 43 years of service for those who might benefit, whether in the military or civilian. Mattis, who's 68 years old, said in a statement, I'm old-fashioned. I don't write about sitting presidents, so those looking for a tell-all will be disappointed. I want to pass on the lessons and experiences that prepared me for challenges I could not anticipate, not take up the hot political rhetoric of the day. The book's title comes from Mattis's call sign, Chaos, while he led the 7th Marine Regiment in the mid-90s. So anyway, that in the news today. And looking to... let me tell you, I was joking with my sons about his interview, right? And on discipline. So once Jim Mattis weighs in, is that the end of the series? The series ends with this, folks. Anybody got a question? Anybody want to tell the former Secretary of Defense that he doesn't know shit? And it is all just chicken shit? Bueller? Hello? Anybody out there? Hello? Anybody home? Right? So when he says, when he gives his thoughts on discipline, like, questions, comments? No, we're good. Yeah. Funny, right? Funny. So, yeah, former Secretary of Defense. Interesting story. USS Preble to be the first destroyer equipped with HILIOS. I don't know. HELIOS. Looks like a French term. Laser defense system. The Pearl Harbor base, USS Preble, will be the first destroyer to be equipped with a high-energy laser to counter surface craft and unmanned aerial systems, according to a published report, with the Navy planning to one day use the powerful light beams to defend against Chinese or Russian cruise missiles. Why can't you use it on manned aircraft? Right? I know you're not supposed to, but maybe you could if some people got confused. So that in the news. Marine Corps stories from Marine Corps Times. Biggest news late last week as we got out the door was troop movements to the Middle East. So we'll talk about that first. About 1,000 troops are headed to the Middle East. Less than 1,000 U.S. troops and assets consisting of intelligence aircraft, engineers, and fighter pilots are heading to the Middle East as a prudent defensive measure against Iran, the Pentagon announced Friday afternoon, together with a Patriot Missile Defense Battalion that was deployed to the region earlier this month. The Defense Department will have about 1,500 troops based in the Middle East for the purpose of defending itself from Iran. Today, I informed Congress that I will approve the combatant commander's request for the deployment of additional resources and capabilities to the Middle East to improve our force protection and safeguard U.S. forces given the ongoing threat posed by Iranian forces, including the Republican Guards and their proxies. That is a statement from Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan. So we've been reading about and hearing about increased Iranian threat activity in the region. This is part of the response. So that going on. Here's another story about saying thank you on Memorial Day to U.S. troops who served in Afghanistan. That would be me. Thank you. A young Afghan concert pianist has a message for U.S. troops. Thank you. My simple expression of gratitude seems inadequate, but this seems like the right occasion to try. I'm a 21-year-old student from Afghanistan getting ready to graduate from City University of New York's Hunter College with a Bachelor of Music degree. Music is my passion and playing piano is my life. I will dedicate my career to keeping music alive in places where it is endangered. When I introduce myself to people in the United States, I find that I am often the first person they have ever met from Afghanistan. They may have preconceptions about the place and its people, which I tried to dispel. It is my life's work to put a positive face on my country and to let my art be a voice for a more beautiful world. Afghanistan has a rich and complex musical history. Sitting at a cultural crossroads of East and West, in the decades before I was born, my country had a thriving music and film scene. However, all was destroyed in the 1990s Civil War, and music was banned completely between 1996 and 2001 under Taliban rule. This is the world I was born into in 1997. It is a world that would have persisted had the U.S. and its allies not intervened beginning in the fall of 2001 when I was 4 years old. The years since then have been difficult, and the situation in my homeland continues to be challenging, but conditions undeniably improved in my country with the presence of U.S. troops there. It was because of your efforts that the Afghan Ministry of Education was able to support the establishment of the Afghan National Institute of Music in 2010. The institute, where I attended school and began my formal music education at the age of 12, was the first school in Afghanistan in which girls and boys could study music together. At the Afghan National Music Institute, students could learn both Western classical instruments and Afghan instruments as well as academic subjects. Several of us have gone to college. Many have become teachers. U.S. Founding Father John Adams once wrote, quote, "I must study politics and war, that our sons may have the liberty to study mathematics and philosophy, geography, natural history, and naval architecture, in order to give their children the right to study painting, poetry, music, architecture, statuary, tapestry, and porcelain. We are those children. You have studied war so I and my schoolmates could study music. No matter what happens after the drawdown, they can't take that away from us, nor from you. I can only imagine what American combat veterans witnessed and how they suffered and continue to suffer as a result of their service to my country. I have heard about the high rates of suicide among young U.S. veterans who served in my country. I wish I could talk to each of you. I would tell you that a generation of young Afghans has grown up in a civil society which you enabled through your service and courage. I would ask you not to despair that your sacrifice was wasted. I will prove it was not. I will always say thank you through my lifetime of music." His name is Ilan Fanous. I'm going to see if we can get his emails right. His email's right here. Elam.Chopin. Chopin, spelled the same way, @gmail.com. So we will see if we can get him on. What a cool letter, eh? Yeah, I agree. What a wonderful surprise. Anyway, top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Army tweets prompt stories of harmful effects of military service. Whoops. This is from the New York Times. U.S. Army tweet prompts stories of harmful effects of military service. It was meant to be part of a social media tribute on Memorial Day weekend. On Saturday afternoon, the United States Army posted a video on Twitter featuring a scout in fatigues who said his service gave him the opportunity to fight for something greater than himself, making him a better man. In its next tweet, the Army opened the door and asked, "How has serving impacted you?" I just got a text. Awesome letter. Yeah, no shit, man. Especially, right, for those of us who serve there. I've never heard anything like that. Right? Somebody thanking us. Right? I mean, it sounds simple and stupid, but honestly, I struggled to get through that. I've never been thanked by anybody. So, yeah, let me see if I can get him on. Honestly, that just made my day. The next tweet, the Army opened the door. How has serving impacted you? The post was shared widely and received thousands of responses, but many were probably not what the Army was looking for. Instead, the call out provided what some felt was a rare platform to spotlight the darker consequences of military service for soldiers and their families, as tweet after tweet described lifelong health complications, grief over lost loved ones, sexual assaults gone unpunished, and struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder and depression. You know, Secretary Mattis said a long time ago that we're becoming a victim, a culture of victims. I mean, do you need any more proof than that? That's how our service impacts us. And this tsunami of negative shit. No, and you know, let me tell you, no doubt that stuff's out there. But, you know, that becomes the dominant narrative. Sorry. Number two, about 1,000 U.S. troops will head to the Middle East as tensions with Iran grow. Number three, we already talked about that. The Army's top aviator will be taking over as chief of staff later this year. What? I did not know that. Army Vice Chief of Staff General James McConville is officially the Army's next top officer. McConville, whose nomination the Senate confirmed Thursday night, has spent much of his time as the service's number two, working to stand up Army's Futures Command, overhauling how the service modernizes its equipment. Quote, "He has played an instrumental role in almost every major decision the Army has made since becoming the Vice Chief of Staff and is the perfect leader to carry on our mission of preparing the Army for the future," Army Secretary Mark Esper said in a statement released on Friday. A career aviator. He commanded the 101st Airborne Division. What? Are you kidding me? Dude must be exceptional, man. Helicopter pilot? Yeah, so when we say aviator army type, we're talking helicopter pilot. Commanded the 82nd, I'm sorry, commanded the 101st Airborne. Holy smokes. Yeah, that's amazing. Helicopter pilot. Chief of Staff of the Army. Number four, rising young Afghan pianist wants world to see a different side of his country. And we talked about that. Yeah, that would bring tears to your eyes. I'll post a link. It's in it. Well, that one's in Air Force time. What's the one that? Yep, the letter's in. The letter's in Air Force Times. I'll post a link in the story right here in a few minutes. How about that? Yeah, make my day, man. Make my day. You know what? And we never see that, right? You changed my life. You know? You came to my country. We weren't allowed to play music. I'm now studying in New York City. I'll get my degree. I will have a career in music that I would never have had you not shown up in my country. Pretty cool. Headline number 5. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's a lifelong burden, colon, the mixed blessing of the Medal of Honor. Subheadline, America's highest award for combat valor is both a gift and a constant reminder of what's often the worst day of the recipient's life. Now, I would like to read this, but Wall Street Journal, man, they locked that shit up. So, interesting story. But you know what? I mean, you've heard that, Jeremiah Workman. You know, has said that. Dakota Myers almost quoted Jeremiah Workman word for word when he said something very similar about a month ago. And what was surprising was that that seemed to surprise some people. Yeah. So the fact that people are surprised is in itself surprising. Like, have you never given that any thought? So, anywho. All right, we're going to take a break. That's the news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to, you're going to hear retired Marine Corps gunner Tim Galinas. And he was a PFC, so we're going to do battlefield study, Contien from the perspective of a PFC, what it was like. He was initially assigned to 1-9. And then was then reassigned to 126 as he spent his year in Vietnam. But again, remember, you went to Vietnam as part of a replacement group, right, of individuals. You got to Vietnam and you were then assigned two different units, and that's how we ran the war. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.